Proverbs chapter 11, and we'll read maybe verses 24 and 25. There are more scriptures through the rest of that chapter that deal with our subject today, but we'll just stop at verse 24 and 25, I think. Proverbs 11, 24 says this: "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth," or a way to clarify that is just there is he, there is one, a person, that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is, or there is one, that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Then we'll turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll begin reading in verse 6. And maybe read down to verse 11. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Conclude our reading this morning, these two scripture readings, and if I could put a title on the message this morning, it would be drawn from verse 6, though we may talk about other verses in this passage and the other passage that we read to you today. And the title of our message today is Sowing Bountifully. Sowing Bountifully. Now, I perceive this week, and I suppose this would be the group of people that my message is aimed at today, at least in my own heart. I perceive that there are some this week, as we've met, whose hearts have been affected by the week a little extra than normal. Lost or saved, both alike. If you're here every service, then you probably sensed that a little bit in each other. Now, as we've gathered, for those of you that have not been here, and you say, "Well, what happened this week?" I can't give you a stat sheet. And I can't say, "Well, this many people were saved, and this many people joined the church," and I wish I could. I wish that those things had occurred already. But I'm not at all quick to dismiss the value thus far that the week has had upon our hearts. And I'm not even suggesting, I don't want you to think I'm suggesting, "Well, we close out tonight and we're done, and this is..." I want the Lord to lead, and I don't have any say in that. I'm not trying to influence anything, so I want to make that clear. But This scripture yesterday came to me at home, and I want to try to just give a brief word this morning of encouragement to those who have felt the Lord's touch this week. What has happened this week in your heart, so not in our services, but in your heart, can be one of two things. It can be this pleasant season that you look back on of life, of your spiritual life, and you say, that was a really good revival. Those 8, 10, 12, 15 days before and after, and those 3 weeks, it was just really good, and I felt the Lord's presence, and I was just so glad to be at the house of the Lord, and we can remember Brother Eaton being here, and some of the things that were said and heard this week, and the testimonies given, and it can be this season, and you and I both know that then we can return back to the daily. Or, rather than being a season of life, this can be a subtle yet necessary and permanent evolution of you. Where the effects of the week are not about, so if I were to take my children to Disney World and we were to spend a week there and they were to have a really grand time with a lot of ups and happiness for them, probably not for me, right? And then we were to come back, the permanent effect that would have on their life would probably be minuscule. But we could be at home, and by God's grace and His mercy, be together in a way that impacts their heart in a meaningful way. And it's a day that, just some random date that would not be remembered likely by either one of us, but it knit our hearts together. It fashioned them without them realizing it. It slightly reoriented the aim of their heart and the desire of their heart. And as Brother Eaton this week got off talking about the phone thing that he was talking about this week, and he was hard on it, that was one of the things that came to mind, is that we exchange, and I think that was the point of what he was saying, is we exchange that temporary high that lasts for a fleeting moment and is swiftly forgotten for the meaningful relationship that's developed face to face. And as a child of God, there are times where, metaphorically speaking, I want the Lord to take me to Disney World. I want to feel an abundance of His joy rain down upon me. And yet, if we live life, our spiritual lives, our marriages, rearing our children, living only from Disney World to Disney World, then the substance of who we are, the substance of our relationships, end up being terribly lacking. Because what really matters in our lives and in our relationships is the day-to-day. The way I treat my wife each morning, the way I love my children each day, the way I consistently discipline them and teach them and love them, and that's truly what matters. That's truly what has the most formative effect on their prospects in life is those perceivably meaningless days that are swiftly forgotten. And so I think what lies before many of us that have had our hearts affected by not just one another, but the Lord this week, that there have been truths that the Lord has personally stamped upon your heart about this church, about your place in this church, about the necessities of this church, about the role that you might need to play in this church moving forward. Because as I was talking with somebody this week, they were pointing out how all of those they grew up looking to, now they suddenly realize, that's me. I'm that one. I'm the one that the generations beneath are looking to. The ones who are setting the expectations and the precedents and the spiritual leadership and the spiritual guidance, that rests upon me now. There's nobody above. And I want to encourage you this morning to sow bountifully there. Sow bountifully in that place. Here, it's Paul. He's teaching us in one way. Now, in the Proverbs, it's a little bit different. It's the way it's worded is a little bit different. It says, he who sows or scatters. Hang on, I don't want to misquote it here. It says, there is one that scattereth and yet increaseth. Now, that doesn't make sense in some ways, right? So if I'm scattering, if I'm giving, so let's just put it as simply as I know how to illustrate the principle. It would seem as though that if I have a treasure trove of money and I am giving liberally, I'm just giving and giving and giving, that the net result would be I end up with less. And yet what the Lord begins to show us is that that is not the case. Least in the spiritual realm, that is not the case whatsoever. It's he that scatters that ends up with increase. And he, and it goes on and it says this, and he that withholdeth more than is meet, or more than is just, more than is necessary, tendeth to poverty. That's counterintuitive, right? If I give and I give, then I look at what I have, I'll end up with less. But what this is saying is that along a spiritual realm, that if I give and I give and I give, I end up looking and I say, well, how did this get bigger? And we can see the principle illustrated in John chapter 6 when Jesus took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he blessed them and they gave and they gave and they gave and they gave. And it makes a point to tell us in there that all of the people ate until they were full. And then when they went and they gathered up all the remnants that were left, it ended up with 12 baskets. Double, triple, quadruple what they had originally started with. Jesus illustrating that beautiful principle that if we give to the Lord and the Lord blesses what we do, then we'll end up with more than what we initially began with. Now, how is that possible? Well, Paul, writing here in Corinthians, he tells us how that's possible. It's because the one who is giving those that sow their seed is the Lord. And he supernaturally magnifies and multiplies the seed that's sown that we might reap a greater harvest of righteousness.
And so you say, Farmer Ron, right, says, well, I only planted 10 or 12 spots for corn. How is it that I had 50 stalks come up? 100 stalks come up? It was only a few things that I sowed. Well, the Bible tells us that in the spiritual realm, it's because there's one that increases what we sow. And his name is the Lord. So this week, I'll tell you a few things that have blessed my heart as I've been here this week. Hearing some of you testify. It's been really good for me this week to hear you testify. Testimonies from the heart. Real testimonies from the heart. Brother Gerald, the other night, he spoke three times. I'm glad he spoke all three times. Why? Because it manifested a heart that was full of the love of God. And haven't we all been there? Haven't we all been in that place? You know, the other day, whenever I was preparing to preach, I guess it was a couple nights ago, I got over here to the church really early, and I was back there, and I was reading my Bible, and I often just write things down. That's just the way I think. I started writing things down, and it was just coming from the Lord so fast. I just put my pen down, and I came out here, and I started pacing, and just started walking, and the more I would walk, the more the Lord kept filling my heart. And the more I'd walk back there and I'd start writing, I said, I can't do this. I just got to, Lord, my heart is full. Lord, I look at the clock. I go over here to the thermostat. I look at the clock and it only passed like 2 minutes. We had like 3 or 4 hours waiting. I was saying, Lord, but my heart is so full. You're filling me. I just want to preach right now, Lord. And so I did something I don't ever do. I don't know that I ever did. I just started talking to myself. I started preaching to myself as I was walking. I just started walking through here. And I just started preaching, just talking, because it was like the truth of God's word was filling my heart. And all I knew to do was, Lord, this is so real to me. This is so rich. The only thing I know how to do is just to get it out. I just need to say it. I need to tell it. I just feel a heart full of the gospel. Oh, that's when testimonies are good, isn't it? That's when preaching is good, isn't it? It's when God has sown his spirit in your heart bountifully, and you begin to reap the richness of the magical, of the supernatural increase of the Holy Spirit upon your heart. And the fruit of righteousness begins to bloom and it begins to harvest. And you go through and you have to start letting things. I told you before about the time that we planted like way too many tomato plants in our first garden that we ever had when we got married. And it got so much that we just had to let them ripe or rot on the vine because we couldn't even give as many away. And there have been times where the Lord can so fill your heart with this truth. And it's not a fleeting emotion, and it's not some spiritual high like Disney World. It's that God is changing and evolving who you are and the desires and appetites of your spirit and appetites of your heart, in so much that some of those truths you can't even pause and relish because the next one comes and the next one comes and the next one comes, and you're just rejoicing in the things of God. That is what has been rich to me this week in hearing some of you speak, is that I can sense God's Holy Spirit doing an abundant work. And perhaps part of the reason is that you've sowed more intentionally and more bountifully in the week and in the weeks leading up to this than we typically do. And then God added his increase, and then we reaped. And you say, man, I feel so full. And so what I want to tell you is this: keep sowing. Keep sowing bountifully. because God will give an increase. Just as sure as I'm standing here, I know the Lord that I'm speaking of. The Lord will give a bountiful increase. And the most glorious increases that God gives is not when he gives a gift, it's when he changes an identity. Isn't that what we'd say when somebody gets saved? What a glorious gift that God gives when he saves a soul. And inherent in that gift is that the old creature is gone. With all of his lusts and appetites of sin, all of that inwardly, that spirit is now has a new identity. They're a new creature created in Christ Jesus. And so they, both by nature and identity, are a different being. And that's a glorious gift that God gives to us at salvation, the effects of which are permanent and eternal. And yet, in the same way, in the process, not in the act of salvation, but in the process of sanctification, God can see to it that as we strive to come to know him more, as we strive to prioritize the things of God in our hearts more, as we scatter bountifully and sow bountifully in the fields of the Lord, we begin to see a change occurring in our identity through the process of sanctification of our hearts. And this outer man that perisheth begins to lust less after the things of the world and begins to desire more the things of God. And as a result, we begin to change. And suddenly, that spiritual testimony that comes once every 2 years is a regular. Why? Not because you go home and just have one really good prayer every 3 or 4 weeks. It's because you are changing more into his likeness. The things of the flesh, you're accommodating less. The things of God, you're not doing as Paul said. It's not out of compulsion. What do you say here? Every man according as he's purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Lord, I'm bowing to pray, not out of necessity and not grudgingly, but Lord, out of a desirous heart to sow my life in your presence. Lord, I'm coming to church to learn of your word on Wednesday night. Not grudgingly, not out of necessity, but God, I want to be more like you. God, I want to see the fruits of righteousness more in our life and in our church and in my children. Lord, I'm coming to sow with intention, not passively, determined. I'm coming to Wednesday night Bible study to learn from the Lord. I'm coming to grow in the Spirit. I'm coming with intention to be more like you. You and I both know well, all the passive religious acts of the world do not conform us into the image of Christ. It is when we're purposed in our heart to give. Right? When we purpose in our hearts to give our hearts and to plant, it takes sometimes you got to till up the ground, don't you? You know what tilling up the ground means? You kill what was there for something that you want to sow that's better. And so you go, and I mean sometimes you spend a lot of time killing what's there, right? And after you've killed what's there, maybe that's where we're at today. Maybe if we could use the analogy, maybe in preparation and throughout this revival, you've killed what was there. And man, that seed is beginning to sprout. We haven't even harvested yet. And you're saying, man, this is good. It's just a little seed. It's just a little plant popping through the dirt. Man, this is so good. Let me tell you what's going to happen. weeds are going to start growing up. Give it a week. The weeds are going to start growing. And that's the difference in harvest or not. What are you going to do? What are you going to do in your heart? Are you going to go pick that weed and kill it? And continue to carefully and intentionally and purposefully cultivate that which promises to bring life? Or just let whatever happen, happens. You see, I think Satan is intentional and aggressive, and the way that you and intelligent. And so he schemes, and then he deliberately attacks, and then he does not give up. So you know how you fight somebody like that? Doing that back. You determine to fight, and you scheme back. And you determine, through the help of the Lord, I'm not giving up. Because the fruits of what is promised is greater than what I'm willing to sacrifice through neglect. This morning, that's all I'm going to say today. I want to encourage you, if the Lord has moved in your heart this week, this doesn't have to be a season. Now, let me say this for a moment. I thought of this analogy as I was reading through these scriptures. There are days when drought comes. There are days when it rains too much. So the farmer goes out, and the farmer has an intention every year way he's going to farm. And there are some protocols, there's some adapting that he or she might do depending on the weather. But there comes a point where there's nothing they can do. Right? There comes a point where I can't stop it from raining. I can't cause it to rain. I'm at the mercy of the one who brings the rain. But listen, when those droughts come, the farmer doesn't change everything about his operation. The farmer doesn't mow down everything. The farmer doesn't panic and say, there's got to be a new way to farm. You know what he does? He keeps on doing what he knows is right. You know what happens in our spiritual lives? We begin to sow. And so we till, and we tend to the weeds, and we pray for the rain, and we recognize that if increase will occur, it's going to come by the Spirit of the Lord only, through the watering of our hearts with His Word, through the pursuit of righteousness, through gathering together, through prayer, through good works. And we do that, and we do that. And then the soul, we continue to do that. And the soul hits a drought. And a famine comes. And for a period of time, we're not feeling it. And the fruits we're longing for don't appear like they're coming. So what do I tell you to do in those moments? Just keep doing what you're always doing. Don't throw out everything. Because there are better days that are coming. And you just keep honing your craft. And you keep adapting as God allows you to. But at the heart, you keep tilling. And you keep weeding. And you keep looking and praying for the rain. And you keep harvesting as God allows you to. And what you recognize is that there is no better way. That the droughts and the famines come, but our hearts must be devoted always to pursuing right. So I speak a word of encouragement today to those of you that have felt a reviving of the soul. Pivot today, once and for all. I love that scripture in the book of Joshua because it is so decisive and final. It's so
determined by the help of God. Today, I'm changing. You know, Brother Eaton, I'm sure you notice how often that he got off on prioritizing being in the house of the Lord. That was like 3 or 4 times. Seemed a little out of the norm of his sermon. He would just go and hit that. Right? And that hits some of us hard. You want to know what to do about the word when it comes like that? And you know it's true and you know it's right. You say what Joshua did. I can't change what I've done in the past. But here is the vow that my desire is to make to the Lord. This day, forward, Lord, I choose you. That's what you do. That old man that lived with mingled priorities is gone. And with your help and with your strength, today I live in accordance with the new man that you are making me into being. And I will sow bountifully in that field and not look back. It's no wonder that people who sow bountifully spiritually reap bountifully. It's not a surprise, is it? It's not a surprise that people who give their all to the Lord reap joy, reap God's blessings, reap answer to their prayers, reap the periods where God brings an oasis in the desert of their soul, reaps the Elijah prayers where it's been desert and it's been famine, and yet God answers their prayer that he prayed for it not to rain, and then he prayed for it to rain. Is it any surprise that the people who reap bountifully in the presence of God reap his presence in bounty? That's no surprise at all. Is it a surprise that those who sow sparingly, reap anything at all? That's the surprise. That God is merciful, because that's who he is, to bless that. This morning, I just want to encourage, it's the main part of the message today, is to stand upon this plateau. There's a scripture, it's always meant a lot to me. Says, Lord, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. I always imagine that. I think there's multiple times where that same thing is said in the Psalms. And I always imagine it like this. Not like, I don't want to say this, like that's a passive state of being. Like, Lord, I just want to get up on a mountain a little higher for a minute and then come back down. The way I've always interpreted what that meaning is like, I'm a sojourner here. I've got my tent and I've got all the things. And for a long time, I've been living right here spiritually. Lead me to a rock that is higher than I'm at so that I can unpack and dwell there. And this is the rock upon the foundation that I'm going to live now. Lead me to a rock higher than you get to that higher plane, that plateau, and you live there for a while, never thinking about going back down, and you utter the same prayer, Lord, lead me to a rock that is higher than what I'm at. And so you pack up all your things and seasons like we've just had, and you climb the mountain, and you get to that next plateau, and you undo your tent. And you lay out your life, and you begin to live there. That's the process that God intended for us in the process of sanctification, is to continue to reach for a rock and dwell in those higher places over and over and over again. I invite you this week, if the Lord has an impact on your heart, lay out your tent, get out your belongings, and dwell where you have been. Don't go back. Don't go back. If you've been singing from your heart this week, keep doing it. If you've been praying, I'll tell you this and I'm done. I've said that 3 times now. This is the third. It's the one that counts.
If you need help, ask. If you need accountability, get it. I've told you before, there are times when I struggle to pray, so I just ask somebody to pray with me. I don't know why, it helps me. It just helps me. If I go to my wife after the kids go to bed, do it way too infrequently. Can we just go in the living room and pray? Because I know what I need to do to sow bountifully. I just don't have the strength to do it. But for some reason, the other day we were out weeding. Usually I either weed by myself or Kathleen weeds by herself. The other day, I went out there to weed. Kathleen was out there to weed. We had three of the boys go out there to help us weed. I was out there for 20 minutes and like the whole thing was done. And every weed I picked, what I thought was, for every one weed I pick, I'm picking five weeds. Theoretically, that's kind of true, right? That for every one that I reach down and pick, it's really five. Because there's four other workers that are weeding. I think sometimes that's the advantage of collective worship. Why? That when we're in the house of the Lord and we're learning about God's word, why when we're praying, why when we're laboring in the cause of God, why is there a real encouragement when we have the zeal and the interest and the engagement of the people around us? It's because it energizes our spirits to know that, hey, for every one weed that I cast out of my heart, there are 5, 10, 20 others that are doing the same. And it's a strength to pursue right when the man next to me and the woman next to me is also pursuing God. It's a help and it's a strength. Spiritual accountability. That's why Jesus, I think partly, that's one reason I think he sent him out two by two, is that the strength that you gain. And the other is the accountability that you gain. I was a runner. As you can tell, a long time ago, I was a runner. And you get long on a journey and you're running, especially those early summer months. It would be really hot. And we'd get up super early, go run. And I was not in shape yet. See, I was a jumper in track, and I was a cross-country runner in the fall. Well, all you do when you long jump is you run like 30 feet. That's all you do. When you run cross-country, you run like 10 and 15 miles to prepare for 3 miles. And so there we'd get in the early June, we'd get up at 6 in the morning, and we'd take off and we'd start running. And invariably, those guys that were 2 mile runners during track, I'd have to run with them. And man, we'd be running, and they'd talk the whole time. They were just gingerly running, happy. And I'd talk for the first 10 minutes. I couldn't talk anymore. They'd make fun of me about it. I was gasping for breath. And my only goal, just keep up with them. Just stay with them. Just don't quit. Just don't be the first one to say we need to stop and ask for water. And it pushed me, and it pushed me, and it pushed me. And how many times have I thought of the analogy of that as spiritual brothers and sisters are what we're for? It's that when we truly, spiritually lay ourselves out there and make ourselves accountable to one another in a real way, how that it necessarily in those weak moments pushes us to go beyond what our flesh wants us to. Find somebody in the church that you love. Find somebody in the church that you can pray with. Find somebody in the church that says, hey, help me. I'm spiritually not feeling it. I'm spiritually this. I'm opening myself up to you. Help me. That's how this becomes a norm and not an annual thing. All right? This morning, I encourage you. I'm done for real this time. Let's get to the rock that's higher than what we're at and stay there and not go back. Let's sow bountifully so that we can reap bountifully. It's our message this morning. I pray the Lord would use it in your heart as he spoke it to mine. It would do you some good today.